Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers listening right now. I just want to say God's love is truly on display through you, through mothering, the way that you care and nourish and the time you spend and the ways that you serve. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for living out of that design that God made you in. We just pray blessings on your day today, that you can find some rest, maybe some time with family today. I know it's a little tricky in this time when we're living in this isolation time, but I do pray that you'll be able to find a blessing in today. And for those that maybe haven't taken a chance yet to call your moms, reach out. Reach out and just thank them. Just pour a blessing on them on this day, just appreciating for all that they do day in and day out in our lives. They never stop mothering. I also just want to say thank you and just a praise report to those that have just been faithfully giving. We've just been watching the Lord just meet the needs each day, each week, as we continue to do ministry in a very important time right now. We have our pastors are very active with people on phone and counseling and just offering group times and things online to keep people connected. We have great small groups that are going, which, again, by the way, get connected in those. There's ways to reach out to us on our web and get connected into those groups. It's been great to learn, pray together, and just be in the Word through the week. We need that. We need to stay walking in this rhythm with God. And we also just say thanks again for all in the community that are coming out and supporting the food pantry and our church volunteers and the volunteers in the community. It's just amazing to watch that food bank each week, just blessing our community and reaching out to that immediate need that is there before us. And so we, again, just say thank you. As we just prepare right now to go into worship this morning and just to enter in, let's turn our thoughts, let's turn our hearts to Him. Let's give Him praise in this place. He is a God who is at work in our lives. He's a God who is worthy of the praise that we sing and we give Him. And so, Father, we lift our hearts of praise to You. We lift our thanks to You for the ways that You provide for us and that You meet our needs. May we continue to pay that forward into the lives around us, being blessings to others and sharing the gospel and the good news to the ways that we live our lives. And I do thank You for mothers this morning. I pray that You would just pour a blessing out on them. Let them know of Your great care over them. And I just pray that they would know how much they mean to those in their lives. And may You make that known to their hearts this morning. And so, Father, now we just turn and we praise. We lift our voices to You. Be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace, we are no longer bound, no longer bound. You call me out of the grave, You call me into the light, You call my name and then my heart came alive.
Your love is greater, Your love is stronger, Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, Your love is stronger, Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
Shaking, all the dead are coming back to life.
call me out of the grave. You call me into the light. You call my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
Oh, and what a love we found.
Death can't hold us down. We shout it out. We're alive, 'cause you're alive. And what a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out. We're alive, 'cause you're alive. Stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is
the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You are worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my wrong. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Lift my hands to glory. of your glory. In your presence, I am worthy, I am found, I am free. All of heaven surround me, I hear your voice overwhelm me. In your presence, I am worthy, I am found, I am free.
In the light of your mercy, in the clouds of your glory, in your presence, I am worthy, I am found, I am free. All of heaven surround you, hear your voice overwhelm me. In your presence, I am worthy, I am found, I am free. Yes, I am free. I am free. Yes, I am free. And that's the truth. Jesus, is that where you are, there is freedom, there is life, and there is the mercy to be found that we're singing of, and your presence makes all the difference in our life, and especially at a time like this, such as this, Lord, we don't fold in fear or crumble in hopelessness because we hold on to you, the hope of life, the fullness of life. You just keep pouring it out to us, that we would just even dig in today as we just go into your word. We would just soak in life, direction, guidance, wisdom, comfort, healing. We're thankful, so thankful for that life, Lord. So thankful for that freedom that we have been singing of this morning. So prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts to taste and to see the goodness of God. To let it lift our spirits this morning. May it capture our hearts this day. We lift this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Avalon Community Church on this beautiful Mother's Day, May 10th. We still miss all of you. And we still love you all, and we're continuing to pray for you all. And I want to thank John again and the worship band for bringing us together in spirit through leading us into worship. And we especially want to honor and recognize all of the mothers listening this morning. God bless each and every one of you as richly as he has blessed all of us with and through you. We are assured by your love and by your guidance that we will make it through these trying times. So thanks for being here for us. And we also want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for being here. And thank you for the godly mothers that we have in our lives and for making them such an important part of your plan for our lives. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts this morning to hear what you have us, what you would have us learn about loving and honoring you by loving and honoring our moms. We pray it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In his book, How to Win Over Worry, John Haggai tells the story of Mrs. Monroe, the mother of eight children who lived in Darlington, Maryland. With eight children, she had many interesting experiences, but one stood out above the rest in her mind. She came home one afternoon from the grocery store, and she walked into her home, and everything looked pretty much the same, though it was a little bit quieter than usual. And that made her a little nervous. So she looked around. She looked into the middle of the living room. And there she saw five of her darling eight children sitting around in a circle, exceedingly quiet, doing something with something in the middle of the circle. And so she quietly put down the sack of groceries. She walked over closely and she looked to see that they were playing with five of the cutest skunks that you could imagine. And she was instantly terrified, and she screamed, "Run, children, run!" And each child grabbed a skunk and ran in five different directions. She was beside herself, and she screamed even louder. She screamed with more franticness and with great gusto, "Stop!" And this so scared the children that, yes, each one of them did stop, but as they did so, they squeezed their skunk. And as John Haggai so succinctly puts it, that day the Monroe family found out that skunks don't like to be squeezed. And that is so true. Skunks don't like to be squeezed. Well, happy Mother's Day. And how many of you, just out of curiosity, raise your hand. How many of you knew that the idea of Mother's Day was born in a small Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia? It was in 1876. The nation was still mourning over the Civil War dead. And while she was teaching a Memorial Day lesson, Mrs. Anna Reeves Jarvis thought of the mothers who had lost their sons, and she grieved over them, and she prayed that one day there could be a Memorial Day service for mothers. And the prayer made a real deep impression on one of Mrs. Jarvis's 11 children. Her daughter, Anna, had seen her mother's efforts to hold the war-split community, the war-split church in her community together. And she grew into adulthood, the younger woman kept Mrs. Jarvis's dream, kept her mother's dream in her heart. And on the day of her mother's death, Anna was determined to establish Mother's Day in her honor. Well, a little later, on May 12th, actually, in 1907, there was a local observance of Mother's Day held there in West Virginia. And later it spread, and it spread rapidly. By 1910, it moved to Philadelphia. And not only Philadelphia, but Mother's Day also was celebrated in 45 other states. And not just those 45 other states, but also in Puerto Rico, in Hawaii, in Canada, and in Mexico, other nations as well. This made Ms. Jarvis very excited. She was elated, and she told a friend, "Where it'll end is left for the future to tell, but that it'll circle the globe now seems certain." And it was certain. It was already beginning to circle the globe. And yes, on May 8th, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day, a day for displaying the American flag and for the public expression of love and reverence and to honor the mothers of the country. And today is that second Sunday in May. It is Mother's Day, an important day to honor our mothers, actually to honor them as we should be honoring them every day because they are so important. I love the Jewish proverb that says, "A child without a mother is like a door without a knob." And that's so true because it's the mother that opens that child up to the life that he or she is going to have. And we know that moms play an important role in God's plan, overall plan, and for God's plan for each and every one of us, because he includes the fifth command in the Jewish law. The fifth commandment in the middle of the Ten Commandments says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you." That's Exodus chapter 20, where we find the Ten Commandments first written. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's repeated in the second giving of the law in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, but it's got a slight difference. It says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And not only is it found there in those two places in the Old Testament, but it's also reinforced in the New Testament. Paul, in his letter to those in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, refers back to that commandment. He says, honor your father and your mother. And then he says, this is the first commandment that actually has a promise of blessings, divine blessings. That's amazing. And honoring our moms brings those divine blessings. The Bible says it brings long life. If we want a long life, honor both our father and our mother. The blessings of God, it says, will follow us everywhere, in every land, every place that we find ourselves. So yes, honoring our mothers brings benefit to our lives, but that's not why we do it. That's not why we honor them. Yes, we do so because they do deserve it, But again, that's not the number one reason why we honor our moms. The number one reason we do so is because God says to do so. Because it is that fifth commandment. We do so because God said so, so we do it out of obedience. And we do it to show that we love God as much as He loves us. Because we show our love through our obedience. Amen? Now, I do realize that some have a real struggle with Mother's Day. Some feel their mothers do not deserve to be honored. Well, let me ask you a question. Does the command that we were just talking about, that fifth command from God, does it say anything about our mother's qualifications to be honored? No, it doesn't, does it? No, it just says, honor them. And because it just says, honor them, yes, we need to do so. We need to honor them. I had the privilege of working when I was younger with an amazing lady named Shirley. Shirley was the manager of the frozen food section of this gourmet deli store called Chalet Gourmet that was found in Redondo Beach. And I was able to work there when I was in high school. And she was my direct supervisor. And she had no idea, I found out, as we shared many a lunchtime together, no idea who her dad was. And her mother was a mean woman, a mean lady who had no use or no time for her own daughter. And now, Shirley could have treated her mother with disrespect. Shirley could have hated her mother, and the world would have said that she had every right to do so. But Shirley became a Christian. She sought refuge from mom, literally, with friends in the local church, and she began to love her mother because, as she puts it, I was doing so on purpose. God wanted me to do it. So I was purposefully loving my mom. I didn't have feelings for her, but I was showing her as much love as I could. I was honoring her. She would say and do things that showed her mother honor. And she said at first it made no difference. She could do no right in her mom's eyes. But over a period of about a year, an entire year, it started to work on her mom's heart. It had been almost a year, and it was 2 days before Christmas, and Shirley had purchased some very expensive perfume for her mother and was giving it to her those 2 days before Christmas, because they were together, as a present. And the mother opened it, and when she saw it, she got mad. She got irate, and she flew off the handle, and she threw it on the floor, breaking it into pieces, making a big mess. And Shirley told me later that as her mother stood there, seeing the mess that she had made of her daughter's Christmas gift, it finally dawned on her, the mother, that she had done the same thing with her daughter's life. And that's when her mother dropped to her knees, tears in her eyes, and begged her daughter to forgive her for the life of torment she had put her through. Wow. And then Shirley told me, and that's not the best part. The best part is that now, well, back then, they sit side by side in church every Sunday morning, all of them. The mother, Shirley, the daughter, Shirley's husband, the son-in-law, and their children. They all sit together in the same pew every Sunday morning for church. Beloved, if our mothers are hard to love, God tells us to forgive them, and he tells us to honor them. And then love will come. The door is open. The knob is there to turn. Love will come. And the Lord gives us a command to honor our mothers. When Shirley applied God's word directly to her life, godly things happen. This is a day that we are to honor our mothers, and we don't put parameters on that. We simply obey. We simply follow directions. Amen. If you open up your Bibles to Matthew, the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, Matthew 20, verses 20 to 21, we find a very unique mother whom God obviously wanted us to remember because she's here in the Bible. He has her placed in the Bible. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. And then the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Now, who are the sons of Zebedee? James and John, the fishermen. Their father Zebedee was a fisherman. And they believe that the mother of the sons of Zebedee is actually Salome, who we read about later in other gospels, this gospel and others' gospels. Well, the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him, Jesus, with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Say that these sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your kingdom." That is a bold request. It's a very bold request. Mrs. Z, or Mrs. Zebedee, or probably Salome, had big expectations for her boys, didn't she? She didn't just pray that her sons would be doorkeepers. She wanted them to sit on the throne, on either side of Jesus, to reign with Jesus. You know, too often, we have a tendency to settle for mediocrity in our own lives, let alone the lives of our family or in the church. Too often, we settle for aiming just about 2 feet inside the door of the church, getting our 2 feet inside. Too many Christians have been content to sit back and let things happen around us instead of our getting up and actually making things happen for us in a godly way. As a good mother, Salome was looking out for her boys' best interests. She wanted her boys to be all that they could be. Well, I think we should start looking for more in our Christian walks, too. Jesus called us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And one of the best ways to do God's holy and righteous word is to be a person of humble prayer, like Salome. I mean, it says there that she got on her knees before Jesus, and she petitioned Jesus on her knees. Is that not prayer? I love what Irma Bombeck, one of my favorite comedians, what she has to say about mothers. But she says, "Mothers were created with enough hands to handle many jobs at once, enough eyes to see all that was going on around them, and with the ability to heal nearly everything with nothing but a loving kiss." Then she goes on and says, "Actually, it seems that God created someone very much like himself." And Irma, I have to agree. Very much like himself. I once saw on a church sign, those signs out in front of a church that have these funny little quotes on them many times, that said, "If evolution is true, then how come mothers still have only two hands?" And that was great in its own right, but written down below it, kind of like graffiti, was written, "Because that's all they need to pray." And I thought, wisdom graffiti, yeah, we need a little bit more of that. You know, the The truth is, many times the mother is the first Christian in the family, or the first one in the family to be a Christian, to come to Christ. And she'll be the one that prays the whole family into the kingdom. Isn't that true? Now, fathers, you don't have to feel guilt-tripped. You don't have to feel frustrated regarding this truth about mothers, simply because it is true. I mean, listen to what Rev Magazine writes about how God created women. He says, number one, women are created as nurturers by nature. They care about others, and they staff most of the caring ministries of many churches. If you talk to a man, one of the first things brought up is work. But if you talk to a woman, one of the first things brought up is family, either yours or hers. She talks family. Ministries popularly filled by women are in the areas of hospitality, of prayer, of nursery, Sunday school, preschool, community care. Secondly, women are created to desire relationships. Men definitely are not. Women aren't satisfied with attending anything more than twice without some connectedness, without getting connected somewhere. They're always on the lookout for new friends, for people to relate to, a sense of belonging. You know, a church may have great sermons, great music, and perhaps fantastic children's programs, but if a woman doesn't connect with someone within the first couple of weeks, that whole family is likely not to come back to that church. And if that connection is strong enough, they not only stick around, but these women, they get involved. Thirdly, women are created to be natural networkers, natural connectors. They know a lot about everything, and they like to share what they know with everyone, especially other women. It's no wonder that women connect others to the church, others within the church, talk about their relationship with Jesus, with others. Men are reluctant to do that. They're reluctant to talk about church. They're reluctant to talk about anything intimate, especially perhaps their relationship with Jesus. Women do so quite naturally. So they're more comfortable at giving invitations, aren't they? Think about it. And lastly, women are created with sensitive hearts towards God, more so than men. Who attends the most? Who makes up the bulk of most of the people sitting in church pews? Well, George Barna, every survey that he does says it's women. In one of the particular surveys, he examines 12 different elements of faith and behavior and perspective. And women excelled over men in 11 of the 12 elements examined. Men excelled in maybe half of them, six, maybe seven, but women excelled in 11 of the 12 elements, just naturally. Yes, men are generally stronger physically, but women are generally stronger spiritually. I found this recently written on the internet about the meanest mom in the world. I don't know who wrote it, or else I'd give them credit, but here's what they wrote. We had the meanest mom in the world, the whole wide world. She was our Gestapo mom. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, we had to have cereal or eggs and toast. When others had Pepsi and a Twinkie for lunch, we had to eat sandwiches. And yep, our mom fixed us dinner instead of us getting to drive through like other lucky kids. Our Gestapo mom insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You would think that we were convicts in a prison. She had to know who our friends were and what we were doing with them. She insisted that if we said that we would be gone for an hour, that we would be gone for an hour or less, not more. You know, we were ashamed to admit it, but she had the nerve to break the child labor laws by making us work. Wash dishes, make beds, vacuum floors, do laundry, all sorts of cruel jobs. We knew that she lied awake nights thinking up more for us to do. She also insisted on telling the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and that we had to do the same. By the time we were teenagers, she could read our minds. And then life was really tough. Mom wouldn't let our friends just kind of honk the horn when they drove up and we'd go out to meet them. They had to come to the door so she could meet them. And while everyone else could date when they were 12 or 13, we had to wait till 16. Because of our mom, we missed out on lots of things other kids experienced. None of us had ever been caught shoplifting, vandalizing others' property, or ever had the privilege of being arrested for any crime. It was all her fault. We never got drunk. We never took up smoking. We never stayed out all night, or a million other things that other kids did. And Sundays were reserved for church, and we never missed once. And now that we've left home, we're all God-fearing, educated, honest adults and parents, and we're doing the best to be mean parents just like Mom was. And I think that's what's wrong with this world today. It just doesn't have enough Gestapo moms anymore. And all God's people said, yes, amen. We've all heard the infamous saying, behind every great man is his mother. Now, someone imagined the mothers of these well-known sons making the following comments. This actually is from a Reader's Digest that was written in 1988. Hey, that's the first year I came here to Avalon Community Church. Anyway, these famous mothers saying these comments to their well-known sons. Mrs. Morris: Sam, stop tapping your fingers on the table. It's driving me crazy. Imagine Mrs. Lindbergh saying, Charles, can't you do anything by yourself? Or how about Mrs. Washington? George never did have a head for leadership or for money. And I like this last one the best. Mrs. Armstrong says, Neil has no more business taking flying lessons than the man in the moon. That was Reader's Digest, March 1988. Moms do influence their children. That's obvious. One of life's best blessings is to have a godly mother. And so one of the best gifts that we can give our children is to be godly mothers. And generally, a godly mother first was a godly wife, and a godly wife first was a godly woman who probably had a mother that mentored her, that showed her what a godly woman was all about. I like to refer back to King Lemuel. King Lemuel did a great job of honoring both his mother and his wife. He is the one that wrote Proverbs 31. And in the last part of Proverbs 31, he writes these beautiful words honoring his wife and his mother. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow in its time, for all her household are fully clothed and in scarlet. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the times to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Give her of the fruits of her hands, and let her work praise her in the gates. And all God's people said, amen. Proverbs 31. I also like what William Ross Wallace, the little poem that he wrote entitled, What Rules the World? William Ross Wallace. He writes, they say that man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter over lesser powers than he. Yes, mightier in power and stronger, man from his throne does hurl. But the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And again, all God's people have to say, amen. So yes, the best Mother's Day gift that we could ever give our moms is to let them know that we've followed their example and that we have surrendered our lives also to Jesus. And when we do, our moms will rejoice. Either here, if we're lucky enough to still have them here on earth with us, or she'll rejoice with the angels in heaven, who the Bible says do rejoice every time a sinner comes to the Lord. And beloved, here's the last truth I want to talk about this morning. In no other country do parents spend less time with their children than here in America. That's a sad truth. It's a truth that we should not be happy about, and there's no way that we can brag about that, boast about it. Because God did not intend for our children to grow without spiritual discipline in their lives. That's why mothers are there. That's why fathers are there. And yet today, too many of our children have no spiritual discipline. And when we have no spiritual or moral codes to live by, we end up spending too much time in the valley of the shadow of death, where we seem to spend, again, most of our lives, or at least in these recent times. To the godly mothers who have raised any of us, and to those mothers currently raising kids in a godly way, our hats are off to you this morning. And we want you to know that you are truly loved, you are very respected. Yes, we honor you. We honor you. But to any who've been raised without that godly influence, to any who feel that their life has been spent mostly in that valley of the shadow of death, let me encourage you to recognize that there is a hand reaching out to you now. Oh, it might look like one of our hands, but really it's not. It's God's hand. And he's telling you that he loves you. He's telling you that you can depend on him. And he's saying, I will guide you. So follow me. And the first step in praying this is praying this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit I'm in need of a Savior. And I invite you to be my Savior. And from this moment on, I will follow you. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being my brother. And thank you for sharing your inheritance in heaven with me. And all God's people said, amen. God bless all of the moms who are listening this morning and have a blessed Mother's Day. Amen.
I don't want to hear anymore, teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore, give me a vision. But you couldn't move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror. And I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day, I can't stay the same. I wanna be different, I wanna be changed.
till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. And I don't want to spend my life stuck in the pattern, and I don't want to gain this world but lose what matters. And so I'm giving up everything because I want to be different. I want to be changed till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different. Oh, I know that I am far from perfect, but through you the cross still says I'm worth it. So take this beating in my heart and come and finish what you started. When they see me, let them see you, 'cause I just wanna be different, yeah. I wanna be different. I wanna be changed till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see there's something different. So come and be different. I just want to be different. So could you be different in me?
Pour out our praise to you, Lord. bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Thanks again for just joining us this morning in a time of worship and the Word. May God be very present in your life today and this week to continue to trust in Him, look for His provisions, spread the love of Christ, share the hope we have with the world that so desperately needs it right now. God bless you guys. Have a great day.